Welcome to the 510 podcast. I'm Heidi Matheson, and my goal in the next 5 to 10 minutes is to bring you some encouragement from the Word of God and to do what Paul tells us to do in Ephesians 5 verse 10, to find out what pleases the Lord. Together, let's strengthen our faith through the Word of God. Probably one of the most common misconceptions about heaven is that heaven is the place where all good people go when they die. In fact, there was a TV series made about this very subject that was called The Good Place, with famous actors Ted Danson and Kristen Bell. According to the show's Wikipedia page, The Good Place is a series centered on an afterlife in which humans are sent to the good place or the bad place after death. All humans are assigned a numerical score based on the morality of their conduct in life, and only those with the very highest scores are sent to the good place, where they enjoy eternal happiness, with their every wish granted, guided by an artificial intelligence named Janet. All others experience an eternity of torture in the bad place. Does this sound like a familiar opinion about heaven? That heaven is the place where people who live a generally good life go, and that there's no way that a good, loving God would turn away good, loving, and sincere individuals. Of course he would let good people go to heaven. Does it really matter what religion they follow if they're good? Now, this idea is based on the supposition that entrance into heaven is on the basis of merit, that in general people are mostly good, and therefore they're entitled to their place in heaven, and that hell is reserved for people who are particularly bad, really evil people, like serial killers and other criminals. It's so important that we get this right. Friends, please listen to what I'm saying. Heaven is not earned by being good. Doing good things, being a good person, is not what entitles us to a place in heaven. Let me explain. In Mark chapter 10, we meet a man described as the rich young ruler. He runs up to Jesus, kneels at his feet and says, "Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus goes on to teach an important lesson. So let's read it in Mark chapter 10, verses 17 to 22. "Now as Jesus was going out on the road, one came running, knelt before him and asked him, 'Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?' So Jesus said to him, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and your mother.' And he answered and said to him, 'Teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth.' Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, 'One thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me.' But the young man was sad at this word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions." Now, before we go on, I need to just say here that this passage is not teaching that rich people don't go to heaven. It's also not teaching that in order to go to heaven, we have to give up all our earthly possessions. What this is a lesson curated specifically for a young man who loved his money and his possessions more than he wanted eternal life. And it's a lesson for you and I about what good means. So first of all, Jesus makes the point that only God is good. There is not a single human being on this planet who is completely good, completely sin-free. And this idea is reiterated by Paul in Romans chapter 3. In verse 10, 12, and 23, he says, "There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who does good, no, not one. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Jesus asks the man this question because he can see the motives of the man's heart. He knows that the man thinks that as long as he has generally obeyed the Ten Commandments, he can receive eternal life. He thinks that being a good person is what gives him entrance to eternal life. His question, "What must I do to receive eternal life?" proves this point. He thinks it's all about his works, about his behavior. And I just love verse 21. On hearing the man's confession that he's kept all the Ten Commandments from his youth, the Bible says that Jesus looked at him and loved him, because Jesus knew that it was impossible for the man to have kept all Ten Commandments completely for his whole life. It was a knowing look, a look of compassion. So Jesus gives him an answer that matches his question. He tells the man to give everything he owns away to the poor and follow Jesus. You see, Jesus knew that the issue was the man's heart, his attitude. Jesus knew that the man just wanted to be given a task to do, a box to tick. He wanted a tangible activity in order to inherit eternal life. But that's just not how it works. It's about our hearts. It's about humbling ourselves, accepting the fact that we can't be good enough to earn our way into heaven, and accepting that Jesus paid the price for us. It's not about being good. Ephesians 2 verse 8 and 9 says, "For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that is not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Titus chapter 3 verse 4 says, "But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us." Galatians 2 verse 16, "A man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified." Honestly, I could go on and on with scripture after scripture to prove this point. There is absolutely nothing that you and I can do to make us worthy of eternal life. And friends, this is good news. Jesus paid the price for you and for me. Jesus took the punishment for you and for me. Jesus made the way for you and for me. Now let's be clear. The fruit of accepting and following Jesus is good works. The fruit of a relationship with Jesus is that we live according to his commandments, that we're good, that we're kind and gentle, at least more than we were before we met him. But those good things are not our ticket to heaven. I'm going to close now with words from Jesus himself. He was talking to his disciples about heaven, about eternal life. Listen to what he said in John 14, verses 1 to 6. And I hope that you'll hear in his words his love, his compassion, his grace. Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way, you know." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Friends, the Bible doesn't say that all good people go to heaven. Jesus never said that all good people go to heaven. Jesus said, "Listen to my voice." Jesus said, "Follow me." Jesus said, "I am the way." It's through Jesus that we receive eternal life. Thanks for listening to the 510 podcast. I really hope you were encouraged today. I'd love it if you would take a moment to rate the 510 podcast on your favorite podcast player. And if you found this episode helpful, please consider sharing it with a friend.